This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً ودربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. A few weeks ago I got a call from one of my clients. She's a professional, very successful, highly educated lady, and she called me and she said, "Hala, I have really messed up. I have messed up big." So I'm thinking to myself, what could it be? What does she do that she's feeling so much, you know, guilt? So I asked her, I said, you know, what happened? And she starts explaining to me. She goes, well, you see, I got into a fight with my husband, and this time I really lost it. I got so angry. I started yelling. I started cussing. And that wasn't enough. I went and I picked up the phone and I called up my mother-in-law. And I started yelling at her and saying, you know, you don't know how to raise your son. And I am frustrated, and she cussed some more, and she still wasn't appeased. She called up the grandparents, and she said the same thing. And she got very angry, and she's like, you know, the son, he's horrible, I can't stand him. And she cussed some more, and she still didn't feel good. In order to feel a little relief, she went, and she keyed her husband's brand new $70,000 car. And this is a result of not being able to control your emotions. How can someone so rational, so educated, so sophisticated be able to resort to such a behavior, right? I'm sure most of us would not resort to keying our spouse's car, right? We wouldn't do that, yes? But we all have our irrational moments. There are times when we may not act in a way that we are proud of. And we need to reflect and see, what is it that causes us to be so irrational at times? It's usually because we start justifying our behavior, okay? And I'm gonna list you some of the ways we justify. And as I list this, what's gonna be very natural is that you're gonna hear this list and you're gonna think about the people that this refers to. Oh, my spouse does this all the time. My mother-in-law does this. Oh, my sister-in-law. I challenge you to only think about how this applies to you, because many times we attend lectures, we hear khutbahs, and we think that this is about everybody else except me, okay? So I challenge you, listen to this with an open heart and an open mind, and really try to see how this applies. So one of the biggest justifications when someone overreacts is that, you know what, I have to get things off my chest. If I hold it in, it doesn't feel good. And many of you feel that you think that by getting it off your chest, you're somehow magically going to feel better. But if in the process you break relationships, you break people's hearts, you're going to feel awful. And you're going to feel awful for a very long time. Okay, so that's justification number one. Justification number two is people saying, you know, I just want to be honest. I'm honest, I'm authentic, I can't be fake. So I have to say whatever I feel because I am an honest, authentic person. Does that sound familiar? Some of you think that way? Well, I hate to break this to you, but being honest doesn't give you a license to be rude. You can't slap people with the truth, okay? So that's the second justification. The third justification is, I don't want to bottle things up. If I bottle it up, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to have heart problems, I'm going to have high blood pressure, so I don't want to bottle it up, I'm going to just kind of let it out there. But you know what happens when you let it out there is that it really causes a lot of damage. You may have a momentary relief, but you have to deal with this for so long. And then the last justification is that people will say, you know what, I want to stand up for my rights. I don't want my rights to be taken. But you don't step on others in get your rights. Okay, so those are the justifications. Now, what are the obstacles? What are the obstacles that happen where it leads to these kind of behavior? Number one, the number one problem is a lack of self-awareness. You know how many clients I have who tell me, you know what, I don't even know why I have such rage inside me. Sometimes I get so depressed, I don't know where it's from. So when you don't introspect, when you don't know the reasons for your sadness, you don't know the reasons for your anger, and you're just going through waves of emotion, then this is the problem. And this is why there's the overreaction. The Sahaba used to introspect. They used to take inventory every day. They would reflect at night. What did I do? What did I do that was good? What was it that was something that I'm proud of and something that was worthy of, it was ajr-worthy? And then they would think about things that maybe they want to correct in themselves. So we need to do that with ourselves. And if you think about it, within the deen, it is ingrained for us to introspect if we do it properly, right? Many times when we're doing the rituals, we're going through the motions, right? But if we do it correctly, if we do it with the concentration, with sincerity, let's say just the adhkar, okay? The adhkar, usually, how do people do it? SubhanAllah. I did 100,000 adhkar, and they want, they feel so proud about it. But where's the reflection? Where is that, really thinking about what is it that they're saying subhanAllah about? So next time you are doing your adhkar, I want every time you say a word, think about what is it that you're amazed about. When you say alhamdulillah, think about the fact that you have been given some of the most amazing gifts. When you say that and you do it with introspection, with mindfulness, that's how you are going to have that inner introspection. Okay, when you say astaghfirullah, just don't say astaghfirullah and be happy about the numbers. Wallah, it's better, if I'm not mistaken, to do less, right? Do less, but with concentration and with focus and be mindful rather than doing so many without any substance. Okay, so the one thing is the lack of self-awareness. Another thing is a lack of self-control. Many times I find people just react because of the fact that they are angry. I've had clients tell me, well, I got into a fight, so I just, I got physical. I got physical with my husband. I got physical with my spouse. And this is not acceptable. As a believer, as a mu'mina, as a mu'min, we need to control ourselves. We need to be riding that horse of emotions, and we got to be in control. Or else what happens? When you're on a horse, we're in Texas, guys. How many horse riders are here? Okay, great, we got one person. Alright. When you get on a horse, I remember I went horseback riding in college, and everything was going well, we were just going very slowly, and suddenly the horse started galloping. And it started galloping and it went towards the fence, and I thought, I am dead meat. Right now, the horse is going to jump, I'm going to be, it's going to be horrible. The horse stopped right before the fence, alhamdulillah, that's why I'm here today. But the owner of the horse came up to me and said, ma'am, you need to mind your horse. I'm like, I don't mind my horse. So you got to take it by the rein and you got to show who's boss. Okay? This is what we need to do with our emotions. We need to take the reins of our emotions. We got to be in control. If we're sitting and we're allowing the horse to just go wherever it wants to go, that's where you have the broken relationship. That's where you overreact to your kids. You break the ties of friendship, the sisterhood, the brotherhood. And it's all because of what? We are not in control of our emotions, okay? And the third thing is there's a lack of coping skills. If most of you have been in households where mom and dad fought, where they ignored the issues, they didn't know how to do things, then what's going to happen? You're going to do the same thing. So we got to get the skills. We got to learn how to deal with it properly. And another thing is that there's a lack of thinking about the consequences. How many times when you get into a fight, you think about, well, if I say this, what is going to happen? How is this going to affect my wife emotionally? How is this, if I say a disrespectful word to my husband, how is it going to affect him? And how is it going to affect relationship, right? Or even with your clients, right? Or with at work. If you lose your cool, how is that going to affect your work? So we need to think about the consequences. And if there's also a lack of wisdom, right? There's a lack of wisdom. It's, you know, people are just blurting things out. Whatever crosses their head is just like going. One client told me, you know, she's like, I just can't hold back. If I have a thought, I have to share it. But what we need to do is really think about what we say, how we say it. Because this wisdom is a gift. And Allah says in the Quran, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. He gives wisdom to whom He wills, and whoever has been given wisdom has certainly been given much good, and none will remember except those who understand. It is a gift. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how many PhD, how old you are. You can see someone who is 90 years old with zero hikmah, right? You've seen them. You've seen people in your community, in your family. It doesn't have to do anything with age. It has nothing to do with degrees. It only is a gift from Allah. So if you don't have hikmah and you know who you are, if you don't have wisdom, pray for it. Pray for it. Now, it's really important to realize that there is a thought, body, mood, and behavior connection. What we think about affects the way we feel, which affects our mood, and then it leads us to a behavior, okay? And I'm going to give you an example so all of you can relate to this. If, let's say your spouse, we'll use the husband as an example. The husband is late 2 hours after work. Okay, I'm going to give you different scenarios, different ways of thinking about it, and the different ways we think about it will affect your mood and it will affect your behavior. So, scenario number one, a person could be like, oh, Habibi, he works so hard, he's such a good provider, mashallah, you know, gosh, what is the mood? What mood would you have if you have these thoughts? Love? Okay, love, there would be compassion. How many of you would think that? Be honest. No one? Okay. All right, alhamdulillah, we have 2 people who think that. That's very good. We're off to a good start. All right. Now, what would your behavior be? If you think, oh, he works so hard, you know. If he comes home, you're going to be compassionate. You're going to want to help. You're going to want him to relax, right? What if the scenario, someone else has the thought, oh my God, I know it, he's in a car accident. Oh my God, what are you going to feel? What's the mood? Sad, fear, anxiety. And when he comes home, how are you going to react? Hopefully you're, oh, alhamdulillah, you're okay, right? What about the third scenario where you say, you know what, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about us. We're not a priority. It's all about his work. It's all about his family. I'm not even on his list of priorities. What's the mood?
Anger.
And how are you going to act when he comes home?
Mad.
You're ready for a fight, right? You're ready. Now, what if the last scenario? How many of you would think that? Come on, be honest. Okay. All right. The last scenario would be you may think to yourself, I know he's cheating on me. I know there's someone else. I know he got a second wife. He's been acting really funny. How many of you would think that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. I can tell by the laughter that this is what you're thinking. What is the mood? Furious. Rage. And if he comes home, how are you going to act?
Suspicious.
Attack, right? So we see that the way we think affects our mood, which affects our behavior. So we gotta be really aware of that. And we have to see the example of our amazing Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he ever have rage towards his wife? Did he ever have rage towards his kids? Even in the situation where he was faced with his enemy, the enemy that oppressed him, the enemy that killed his family members, he let them go, he let them be free. He railed in the emotions He did not allow his pride, he did not allow his emotions to get out of control. So if we want to emulate him, then we need to definitely take control of our thoughts. You know, our brain is so amazing. The prefrontal cortex here is where all the thought processes take place. This is where you make decisions. This is where you can decide between right and wrong, controlling your urges and your desires. And you know what happens, subhanAllah, and how miraculous the Quran is? You know how Allah, when he describes the people who transgress, the people who make bad decisions, you know how he says it? He says they will be grabbed by what? Their forelock, right here. This is where it all happens, the prefrontal cortex. And so when a person knows right and wrong, that they choose to do the wrong anyway, when they succumb to their desire time and time and time again, that means we're not using our facility properly, right? And so what we need to do is be more aware of this. And the way I want to explain this is that most of the things that we do is out of habit, right? A lot of our behavior is in the basal ganglia of our brain, okay? And here, it's kind of like when you're driving a car. How many times you get in the car and you're on autopilot, right? You just go, you drive, and you could be half asleep. Hopefully we're not asleep, but half asleep and you can make it home, right? Because it's all happening here. What happens if someone suddenly cuts you off? If they cut you off, boom. It's right here in the prefrontal cortex. You're thinking, what do I do? Do I swerve? Do I go? And so we need to really apply this area. And when we do, you can start counting backwards. Okay, how do we get to this area? Okay, so you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You go from habitual behavior to prefrontal cortex. Everyone with me? A little science class, short little science, but here's why I say this, okay? Because a lot of times when we're emotional, we stop thinking, right? A lot of the times when there's a therapy session and the heart rate of the couples that I'm working with, it goes up to 100, I stop therapy, I do deep breathing, I get them to relax, because you know what? You stop thinking, you stop hearing, you start reacting rationally. So we need to figure out how can we stop those irrational behaviors. So one of it is what? You count backwards. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you start thinking, okay, whatever it is, let's say you're enraged. You're angry at your child because they didn't listen to you for the 10th time. You're angry at your spouse because you kept telling them not to do something and they keep doing that annoying thing. So you stop right there, okay? And that gives you a moment to pause. That moment to pause is so powerful because it gives you a time to do what? To think. Because a lot of the things that we do is just out of like not thinking. We're not thinking. My client was not thinking, was not thinking about the consequences when she went and keyed her husband's car. So when you pause, you're able to reflect and you're able to think about the consequences. Think about what's going to happen. If I take out my anger on my child, what's going to happen to his self-esteem? If I just cut ties with this sister in the community over a stupid thing that happened, what is that going to do to our ummah at large? Each person cutting ties, just as easy as that. What's going to happen to our ummah? We need to think about things and not just react out of emotions. Remember, I said get on the horse and take your emotions by the rein and really be in control of it. Don't let your emotions control you. So we said counting backwards, you pause, and then you have to think about your thoughts, okay? Remember the exercise we did about the husband coming home 2 hours late? How different was the mood and the behavior depending on the thoughts? It was extremely different, right? And so we have to make sure that we're having the right kind of thoughts and we are evaluating and interpreting our situations properly, because if not, Imagine if the poor guy was staying late because he had extra work and he wanted to make extra money, and then you're thinking that he cheated on you. I mean, how unfair is that, right? And we do this constantly. We're constantly having negative thoughts. We're having su'edhan, right? We're thinking, assuming the worst of the people around us, and we react, and we think we're correct. So really be aware of that. And it's about zoom out. I didn't say zone out. Okay, not zone out. Zoom out. Like a camera. Okay, when you have a camera, and let's say you zoom in on someone, and you're taking a picture of them, and you just capture that, you know, that pimple on their forehead, right? That's not very attractive. If you zoom out, and you see the full picture, you see the beauty of that person. You're not just zoning. You're not zooming in on their flaw, okay? Let's say you have a bouquet of flowers, and you zoom in on that petal that has been wilted, you lose that whole beauty, right? Zoom out, see the bigger picture. See the bigger picture of that person you're dealing with. See their good qualities. You know, a lot of times we're so focused on the negative traits of the people in our lives, we can't even come up with one positive thing. I've had that where I'm in a marriage counseling session, and I turn over, you know, I turn to the sister and I'm like, you know, what is it that you like about your husband? And it was like, oh, he's a good provider and he's a good father. Usually, like, so a lot of times women can come up with something. I turn to the husband and I say, what is it that you like about your wife? And he's just like, I'm like, brother, what do you like about your wife? Quick, you're gonna be. And he said, he couldn't come up with anything. I said, it's probably maybe her cooking. As a mom, she must be a great mom. And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be dead meat tonight. This guy, he's going to get, I'm trying to help him out. And he couldn't come up with one positive trait. They've been married for over 25 years. Not one positive trait he could come up with. And why is that? Because in his mind, all day, all night, he's thinking about how annoying she is, or she's a nag, and I'm sick of this, I'm sick of that. And when we focus on those things, that's all we see. So zoom out, okay, and just see the bigger picture and realize that every person, every single person that you deal with, they have their good qualities and they have their bad qualities, okay? Focus on that thing that is good. That's all we can do. We can't change them, okay, unless they want to change. There's that running joke about how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? Do y'all know the answer? None. The light bulb has to want to change. I had to use a psychology term. All right, but the thing is that if a person does not want to change, there's no way that you're going to change, right? I mean, people come, they invest the time, they invest the money to change behavior when working with me, and they, you know, it's challenging, right? They will achieve their goals, but it's you have to want it. Also, give yourself time out for yourself. When you find that you're enraged, you're angry, you're frustrated, instead of reacting, you said you pause, think about your thoughts, you are zooming out, right? And also, when you zoom out, something I left out is that you have to say that there's a master plan. There's a master plan, and you may not be happy with what's happening right now in your life. You may not like the test you're in. You may not like whether it's your spouse or your kids or your financial situation or anything that's going on, but you have to realize that this is being executed, and this is by the most divine, and there's hikmah. There's hikmah in what is happening, and just embrace that. If you embrace it, you will have a lot less depression, a lot less anxiety, and you will be able to have that inner peace. And it's really about having, you know, that timeout that I was talking about. Try to find something that you can do. Let's say whether it's going for a walk, whether it's taking, you know, doing two rakats of prayer, whether it is whatever it is that relaxes you. I remember being at the VA hospital. I was working there, and we had 50 veterans. Okay, and they're all like, I was in my 20s, imagine 20-year-old Mahajaba, and there's like these veterans that had all been in like the Gulf War, and they were like 30 years older than me, and they had a lot of anger and frustration inside. It was a group therapy session. I was teaching them about how to control their emotions, their anger. And so one of the things we suggested, I had a co-therapist, one of the things that we suggested is, you know, when you feel anger, just, you know, take a break, go, you know, do something, distract yourself. The man took this advice and he ran with it, okay? He took this advice. The next time he got into a fight with his wife, he booked the ticket to Mexico, went, and didn't tell his wife. And he came back, he said, you told me to take a break. I said, go in your backyard. You know, go to Mexico. So I don't want you to misquote me, okay? Go off to Mexico. You just, you know, take something you do and you relax. Then it's about having an outlet. You have to have an outlet. You have to have something. All of this bottled up emotions, instead of like, you know, letting people have it and lashing out, have an exercise, have something you do. I remember when my kids were very little, they were like 5, 3, and maybe newborn. And it's hard, you know, as a mother, you're trying to balance the work you do, the kids, the house, the career. And so it was a way that I coped with that, with the frustration and everything, is by going to a kickboxing. Kickboxing was great because it just, like, you know, it lets you let out all that energy. So make sure that you have some kind of outlet. You have an outlet that you can just let it out, but in a healthy way. And the last thing, I know I'm a little bit over time, but it's about knowing your triggers. You have to know, what is it that angers you? You yourself have to know. You know, many times when I'm talking, I'm doing the sessions, the couples therapy, and I ask the spouse, you know, what angers you? They don't even know. They're like, I don't know. Like, how do you expect your spouse to know if you yourself don't know? So know your triggers and know how to deal with that. And I pray that all of us will have the wisdom, the patience to take control of our emotions and be in charge. Be in charge of our emotions so that we don't destroy our relationships, inshallah. So jazakallah khair for your time and your attention. Salaam alaikum.
شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا.